We return this morning to John chapter 1. The section is verse 1 through 18. Our text this morning is verses 6 through 8. You follow along in your copy of the scripture as I read for you, beginning John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Father, this morning we thank you for an opportunity to return to this glorious introduction to the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to our hearts by thy blessed Spirit through the pen of the Apostle John. We pray that today as we speak a little about that other John, that other significant New Testament John, that you would help us to appropriate the truth to the correct identity of Christ, and to the blessedness of our own soul at your majesty and the marvel of your word as written. Thank you for each one that is here. We ask your blessing today in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We start with a quiz. The answer is John the Baptist. 10 questions. The answer is John the Baptist. I'm going to ask the questions. You're going to give the answer. And the answer is John the... Not bad, but you're going to have to do better than that. I'll ask the questions. You're going to give the answer. And the answer is... Oh, thank you. Oh, thou sleepy pew sitter this morning. I won't name names, but I'll tell you, I saw a lot of shut eyes during even the singing. I don't know how you can sing when you can't see the words. Okay, here we go. Question number one. Which Bible prophet is also the subject of significant Bible prophecy?
John the Baptist.
Oh, good job. Question number two. Who received direct communication from God in order to identify the Messiah?
John the Baptist.
Question. Who is named or referenced in all four gospel accounts? Who did Jesus say was the greatest born of women? Question. Who is the official link between the close of the Old Testament scripture and the opening of the New Testament scriptures? You did better on that than I did. Question, who is the official herald, forerunner, and messenger of Messiah as forecast in Malachi 3:1? Seven, who identified himself as the voice crying in the wilderness as forecast by Isaiah chapter 40? who was born to parents far beyond their childbearing years without a fertility doctor? Number 9, who was not named for his father to the shock of his extended family? Some of you are getting excited to answer before I've even got the question. And then number 10, last question of the quiz, who is the focus of a family night summer worth of study here at the First Baptist Church of Elto? My, but you did well with that little quiz this morning. I believe, and have become convinced in the senior years of my ministry life, that John the Baptist is far more important to the correct identity of Jesus Christ than what most modern evangelicals ever think. This morning, we are working specifically with the Apostle John's first mention of John the Baptizer as a part of the Lord's declaration of deity in John 1, 1-18. Let me just give to you the little section 6-9, because that's about John the Baptist, and then you have that little section down in verse 15. Just look at the John part of this scripture. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He, John the Baptizer, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, reference back to Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. John the Baptist has a significant role in this opening declaration of the Lord's deity. Jesus is God. That's the point of John 1, 1-18. And John the Baptizer plays a particular role in helping me and helping you come to that understanding. And I do believe that that gospel emphasis has been by and large missing from evangelical churches by way of emphasis for a lot of years. Now previously in verses 1-5, our focus has been upon the Logos, the life and the light. Verses 1-5 are all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's difficult to imagine a stronger assertion of the truth of Christ than is found in the first 5 verses of John's gospel. They give to us the rationale for calling Jesus the Lord. Of course we refer to him as the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's proven to be both Lord and Christ. Those first 5 verses of John's gospel assert without room of doubt that the Lord Jesus is indeed eternal God. That assertion that the Lord Jesus is equal with the Father and equal with the Spirit allows us to develop our understanding of the triunity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, one God in 3 persons. Interestingly, the Apostle John's reference to Christ as Logos, his reference to Christ as life, and his reference to Christ as light are going to continue to develop throughout this gospel as we study it week by week. But no development is greater than this idea of Christ the light. And you have on your bulletin outline today just a little bit of a contrast of where we'll be going over future weeks and months and years, if the Lord should tarry, as we continue in John's gospel, as there is this parallel that is developed in this particular gospel account between light and darkness. Of course, God is associated with light, and Satan will be associated with darkness. Light is associated with truth, and lies are associated with darkness. Light is associated with holiness, and sin is associated with darkness, and life is associated with light, and death is going to be associated, of course, with darkness. Now, in this ongoing presentation of Jesus as the Lord Jesus Christ, as it's brought forth by way of declaration in John 1, 1-18, John the Baptist place historically in that moment of time, and I believe in the development of understanding for the believers today, because it's written in the Bible, an important role in identifying correctly Jesus Christ as the true light. In fact, that's what John is going to do with this, John the Apostle, that is. He's going to use John the Baptist, or JB's testimony, to bring to us a settled conviction about the fact that Jesus, the Christ, is that light of promise and prophecy. And therefore, the Apostle John introduces us to another John, John the Baptizer, verse 6, with the words, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." In this case, John the Apostle is speaking of John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, as I prefer to call him. From that introduction, verse 6, there are a number of things that we just quickly observe. Number one, we take note of a very abrupt contrast. The first phrase is, "There was a man." In contrast to the previous person made a point of emphasis, called Logos, and called the life and called the light, we now have a man, in contrast, whose name is John. John is obviously important to this declaration, but he wouldn't be the most important. He is important only because of the relationship that he possessed with the one who is identified as Logos, as life, and as light. And so the importance of John the Baptizer is always connected to the superiority and the supremacy of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have a contrast, those first five verses, phenomenally theological. I mean, we took 5 weeks to talk about five verses. We could have easily taken a sixth or a seventh or a tenth. It seems to be no floor, and there seems to be no ceiling when it comes to the study of those first five verses of the Gospel of John. What they say is so profound, you can't get your head around it. And then, in great contrast to the profundity of verses 1 to 5, you have this contrast. There's a man. Okay. His name is John. Okay. We got at least one of those here. You're just brought back to the aspect of the earth, as it were. You're brought back to the aspect of commonality. We note in that phrase, "There was a man sent." That tells us that John the Baptizer was a missionary. A missionary is a sent person. The modern missionary is sent by a local church and then gleans support from other local churches in our stripe of operation and polity. But a missionary is a sent individual. "There was a man sent," says the Apostle John concerning John the Baptizer. Everything about John that is important to us involves the fact that he's not only a man, but he's a sent man. Involves the fact that he is a man on a mission. That he is a man with an assignment. That he is a man with a commission, as it were. The Bible is not a book written like People magazine, just to introduce you to interesting people. The Bible has a point. It has an emphasis. And as we've identified many times, the point and emphasis of all the Scripture is Jesus Christ. And John is important to understanding correctly the truth of Jesus Christ. And he was a sent man, a man with an assignment in the context of his life. And further, we note, third thing, that he's a sent man from God. It's one thing to be sent by your mother to the store for a loaf of bread. It's another thing to be sent by God. There was a man sent by God. The last writing prophet of the Old Testament era prophesied that an official herald would precede the Jewish Messiah. This herald is described by Isaiah as the voice crying in the wilderness, and by Malachi as the messenger sent from God to prepare the way of the Lord. John is the fulfillment of those Old Testament prophecies. All the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they all reference Malachi 3:1 or Isaiah 40 when making the connection between John and Jesus. John, the apostle, does not reference directly Malachi 3:1 or Isaiah 40, but nonetheless, by telling us that John is a man sent from God, it would cause us to do some looking. And when we do some looking, we find out that John is the man who is not only prophet, but prophecy. That he was the prophesied one who would precede, as it were, Messiah on the earth. And then finally, we just simply take note for the sake of our understanding that the name John means Yahweh is gracious or Yahweh's gift. And in particular, we view the life of John the Baptizer as a heavenly gift. He is sent in relationship to the grace of God toward mankind in Jesus Christ. The grace of God for mankind is evident in the person of Jesus Christ. And so now, in this moment, after our opening quiz and just a little bit about verse 6, you and I are poised in heart and mind to receive intelligently the additional information we find here about John the Baptist's role and the goal of his life. Verse 7 says, "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light." We'll stop right there. The role of John, commonly referenced as John the Baptist, was to provide witness to the light, because people did not, cannot see it. JB has a role in the program of God of giving witness to the light. That's what the plain understanding of verse 7 says. John the Apostle introduces us to John the Baptist in order that we might anchor the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning Messiah. There is absolutely no, listen, there is absolutely no reliable information about Jesus called the Christ outside of the Bible. The only place you can come to know correctly about Jesus the Christ is in the Bible. And so John the Baptizer has a particular role in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a particular role in relationship to the Bible that you and I carry in our hands. John the Baptist is the link between the close of the Old Testament scriptures and the opening of the New Testament scriptures. John the Apostle is careful to clarify in verse 8 that John the Baptist is not to be confused with the light that is previously introduced in verses 1 to 5. Logos, life and light, that's one person. Witness to the light, that's JB, that's John the Baptizer. And clarity again is forced in this text in distinction between the witness to the light, John the Baptizer, and the light, which of course you know is Jesus Christ. The title used by the Apostle John to describe the role of the Baptist in both verse 7 and verse 8 is the word witness. John's role is witness. John gives witness of the shining light of Christ. We have identified the light as the life of verse 4 and the Logos of verse 1. God the Father sent John the Baptist as the official herald so that God the Son could be recognized on earth among spiritually blinded men. The role of John the Baptist reflects the role of the modern-day pastor or the modern-day missionary or the modern-day faithful disciple of Christ. I like the way my dead buddy Pink says it. He says, the faithful witness deals not with speculation, nor speaks of his own opinion, but testifies to what he knows to be the truth. And John the Baptist is a witness to the truth of the light. John was faithful to his calling, and indeed correctly identifies for us, as we read the pages of Scripture, the fullness and the glory of Jesus Christ. John the Apostle and John the Baptist share a unique role as official witnesses of Jesus Christ. John the Apostle, who wrote this book, speaks of John the Baptizer as a witness because John the Apostle is likewise an official witness. Now, I know that there's tremendous pressure to use this word witness for everybody. You're a witness, I'm a witness, we're all witnesses. And I'm not opposed to understanding that there is a role to be played by all of us as it relates to attesting and affirming the truth of Jesus Christ. But I cannot be an official witness of Jesus Christ, and neither can you. And the reason why you and I cannot be official witnesses of Jesus Christ is very simple. And that is, you've never seen him, and neither did I. And yet, the two Johns that are brought together in complement and contrast, the writer and the one written about in our text, the two Johns both have a role as official witnesses of Jesus Christ. And interestingly, they're not the same role exactly, but they both have an official role as witnesses. John the Baptizer is an official witness to the light, who is Jesus Christ. Of course, the Apostle John was called along with other men, ultimately to number 12 men, who would serve as official witnesses to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, John the Apostle is writing this as an extension of his calling as an official witness of Jesus Christ. And when he does write to us as an official witness of Jesus Christ, he writes to us of the official witness to Jesus Christ. Or if I say it otherwise, John tells you about John and not himself. John the Apostle writes of John the Baptizer as an official witness in order that you and I, in the reading of the Holy Scriptures, might come to understand the blessed way in which God has validated and confirmed exactly for the eyes of faith the one who is the Lord of glory, the one who is the Savior of the world, the one who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It's not three men, it's not two men, it's not 10 men, it's one man, Jesus the Christ. And everything in the Apostle John's life and witness is driven along those lines. And everything in the earthly life, though brief, of John the Baptizer was driven in that particular realm. And so the role of John the Baptizer was the role of authorized, commissioned, sent, missional witness. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, the goal of John, commonly referenced as John the Baptist, was, according to Scripture, this is amazing, that all might believe. Did you see that? Again, look at verse 7. The same, John the Baptizer, came for a witness to bear witness of the light. The purpose of John finds its home or destination in the person of Jesus Christ. But the goal of the role of John the Baptist is that all men through him might believe. Now I want you to think about that for a moment, because that's a powerful statement. First of all, whenever you find the word all in the Bible, you want to be careful to note it and be specific about what it's saying. The word all here is obviously limited. It's not talking about dogs or cats or birds or lizards. It's talking about people. It clearly is speaking about people. John is a witness of the light, capital L-I-G-H-T, for the benefit of people. And there is, in this statement, no limitation on John's ministry in relationship to Jesus Christ. All people need the witness of John to the light. All people need the witness of John to the light, because all people can't see it. There is something that is universally true among people, and that is they do not see God. They do not perceive God. Certainly not clearly. Potentially all people should benefit from this witness of John the Baptizer to the light, who is Christ. But the reality was and is that, of course, many people do not. Again, I say what I said a little bit earlier, and that is without the Scripture, without the Bible, you cannot believe the truth that saves. Because the truth that saves the soul is the truth of Jesus Christ. And the truth of Jesus Christ is that which is directed and defined and promoted and grasped by means of the Word of God. And ultimately, that Word of God tells us of this official connection and link between the witness to Christ, John the Baptist, and of course then Jesus Christ. Again, my dead buddy Pink helps us to connect the truth of Christ, the light, back in verse 5, to the necessity of John to guide men to that light. Verse 6, here's what Pink says. When the sun is shining in all its beauty, who are the ones that are unconscious of that fact? Who need to be told the sun is shining? And of course, you and I would be inclined to say, nobody. Because we think that everybody is like us. And certainly if the sun is shining, we can see it. But Pink's point would be that the person who needs to be told that the sun is shining is the blind man. And the position or the posture of the Apostle John as he writes to us of Christ the light is to help us to grasp that we are all born blind. We are all born unseeing. And thereby we need that which John the Baptizer was designed by God to bring. And that is guidance to the light, which is Christ. I would submit to you that during the days of John the Baptizer's actual earthly life and ministry, brief as it was, that this is what he did. He guided individuals. He prepared individuals for the light which is found in Jesus Christ. And yet I would suggest to you that that's exactly what John the Baptizer has to do today by way of the testimony and the record of Scripture that we have in our hands again and again and again and again. In other words, this idea of the importance of John the Baptizer to the correct identity of Jesus Christ is far greater than what you and I in this age have been inclined to think. The heavenly design of John's ministry and the desired goal of John's ministry was faith or belief in Jesus Christ. John gave witness in order that people would come to the verdict of absolute confidence in Jesus Christ. This text is about the witness of John and is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I tell you, and we'll only begin this thought today, and we'll finish it next week, because we'll only deal through verse 8 this morning and pick up verse 9 next week. But this ministry of John the Baptist is greatly attested to throughout the Scripture from a number of different angles. For instance, think about John's own earthly father. Did John's own earthly father, his name is Zechariah, did he understand the unique role that God had given to John the Baptizer? Well, we're here. You have a copy of the Bible. And so I suggest, since we have a few more minutes, let's find out. Luke chapter 1 is a passage formerly studied. It was studied in the first year of my ministry among you, since we began our expositional ministry 7 years ago plus in the Gospel of Luke. We covered Luke, we covered Acts, and now we're beginning John. So a long time ago, even for us together, we were in Luke chapter 1, and I'm interested in what Zechariah has to say concerning his son John the Baptizer, beginning with verse 76. Again, the question is, did Zechariah understand something of the unique role and the unique goal of his own son John when John was but an itty-bitty baby bouncing on his daddy's knee? Did Zechariah have an understanding of it? Well, let's see. Here's Zechariah speaking in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 76. He, interestingly, is talking to the baby. "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest." Stop right there. Zechariah saw his son John as a prophet from God. But not just any old prophet, but a unique prophet in relationship to he who is the highest, or we could translate, the most high God, El Elyon. So Zechariah says, "Thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." That comes right out of the Old Testament scriptures. Malachi chapter 3, Isaiah chapter 40 promises an individual who precedes the Lord in coming. He prepares the way for the Lord. Zechariah sees this itty-bitty baby just born to his wife Elizabeth and him in their old age. He sees him as a prophet of God in relationship to the El Elyon, the most high God. He sees him as the one who will go before the face of the Lord to prepare the Lord's way. Verse 77, "to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins." That specifies John the Baptist's ministry as an adult, as he identifies the timing and the offer of God's salvation to the Jewish people, his people. Verse 77, verse 78, "through the tender mercy of God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." Day spring, another name for Jesus Christ the Lord. Look at verse 79. It directly relates to our text in John chapter 1, 1 to 18. Christ is the Logos, Christ is the life, Christ is the light. John is witness to the light. Zechariah understood the ministry of his son as an adult when just a baby. And he says, 79, "to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Zechariah, the earthly father of JB, knew that his son, as an adult, would be a prophet of the highest, would be the official forerunner, would be the messenger of Malachi chapter 3, and the voice of Isaiah chapter 40, who would specifically bring light to the light. Bring light to the light? Does that sound crazy? Yeah. unless you're talking about blind people. And when it comes to the realm of the Spirit, we're all talking about blind people. We once were blind. We once were in sin. But like the blind man that we will meet in a coming day in John chapter 8, we can sing the song, "I once was blind, but now I see." And the way we come to see is because God guides us to the light through His Word and through the testimony of men like John the Baptizer. So my point to you in Luke chapter 1, in relationship to John chapter 1, is that Zechariah foresaw and knew, even as an earthly dad, what the destiny, what the goal of his son would be in regards to his adult life. And therefore, again, I say it's astounding when Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John go on to tell us of the Lord Jesus that they all, every single one of the official written down testimonies of Jesus as the Christ include reference to John the Baptist. It causes me to at least ask the question, can you actually have a correct understanding of who Jesus is apart from the testimony of the Scriptures and the life of John the Baptist? And I suppose there's a way you could say, well, maybe not directly, but I'm telling you that he is important, very important, in the program of God and the design of God as it relates to the correct identity of Jesus Christ, and all four gospel writers recognize that. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you have direct reference to Malachi 3 and to Isaiah 40. As we've already said, here in John, not so much. And yet to all recognize the unique heavenly assignment that is given to John, all recognize his role in relationship to the light. The prophecy and the fulfillment concerning John is the line of verification that comes straight out of heaven. The best way to introduce the Lord Jesus, listen, the best way to introduce the Lord Jesus is by the witness of John. How do I know that? How can I say that? Well, the way the Bible does it. You see, I am quite tempted as a person to think, boy, I need to figure out a good way to say things about Christ when I'm talking to unsaved people. You know, I might be well advised, Christian evangelists and educators might well be well advised to take the Bible's lead in this regard. I wonder what would happen if you said to a junkyard dog, who isn't actually a dog but a person, I wonder what would happen if you said to him, "Do you know anything about John the Baptist?" Now, of course, if it's you saying that, you first have to say, he isn't a Baptist like I'm a Baptist, but there's a similarity, but they're not exactly the same. But have you ever heard of John the Baptist? No. Did you know the Bible talks about him a lot? It does. Yeah. Hundreds of years before he was born, the Bible speaks of him. Speaks of him in relationship to the correct identity of who the God-man is, who the Savior is, who the Redeemer is, that we identify as Jesus the Christ. I'm telling you, we should have been working this thing. We should have been using this thing. This is the official way that God in His Word presents to us Jesus the Christ. John is the unique messenger of God that allows us to correctly identify the subject of Old Testament prophecy and New Testament declaration, Jesus Christ. And so we preach Jesus Christ. And we say your faith must be placed in Him, and worship must be directed to Him, and earthly life must be dedicated for Him. It's all about Christ, it's all about Christ, it's all about Christ. Yet, you and I may fail, and certainly unsaved people fail, to have something of the fullness of who it is we're talking about when we say place your faith in Christ and direct your worship to Christ and be dedicated in life to Christ. And John the Baptist can really help us with that. Years ago, I was impressed with the pithy little statement of my dead buddy Spurgeon, who wrote this little phrase. Better God's dog than the devil's darling. I end this morning by telling you that John the Baptist was God's dog. Called of God to bark and alert people to Jesus Christ. In the summer season on John the Baptist Past, that summer season that we dedicated to the study of the man's life, I told you the true story about a dog named Roselli. I wonder if anybody remembers that. Don't lift your hand, I'd be embarrassed. Michael Hingston survived the terrorist attack on 9/11. What makes his story amazing is that he made it out of the towering inferno at the World Trade Center with the help of a guide. The guide that took him out of the World Trade Center was not another person. Michael Hingston is a blind man, and his guide dog that day was named Roselli. And on the day of great tragedy and terrorism, Michael Hingston remained safe because of the faithful work of the guide dog, Roselli. What Roselli was to Mr. Hingston on the tragic day referred to as 9/11, John the Baptist is to you and to me. He guides us. He points us to the light, which is Christ. John knew he wasn't primary. He knew he was secondary. His role and goal by the will of God was and is to lead us to Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the faithful ministry of John the Baptizer received. And we pray that as we continue to think upon these things, that our hearts would be prompted again and again to worship Christ, to be dedicated to Christ, to place trust in Christ. Because indeed that was the role and goal of John the Baptizer. And for those of us that are here this morning that know the Lord Jesus as our own personal Savior, that is part of our role and goal as well. And so we thank you for the opportunity, and we ask your blessing upon the responsive people in this place to your will and to your word and to your way. And pray that you would continue to use your word mightily to the benefit of our lives day by day and with every passing moment. We likewise pray, recognizing that many of our family members and friends, co-workers, schoolmates, do not know the Lord. And so, Father, we would pray that you would help us to pick up on the opportunities that we do have to build a link between our own lives and the Word of God written, that we might point to Christ, who indeed alone is Logos, life, and light. May we be a responsive people this morning, we pray in Jesus' name and for his blessed sake. Amen.